Hi there, welcome to this video. It's titled, So You Want to Save Sex Till Marriage. So You Want to Save Sex Till Marriage. All right, it's a common thing people have been discussing that, should I save sex till marriage or am I free to start having sex if I'm dating? Now, and interestingly, I've been planning to do this video for a while and I had a visit from a young man today that is almost 30 years old and he's a virgin. So he told me that many times we, the elders or the preachers, tell the young people to abstain from sex, but we hardly tell them how, and we hardly explain to them how we dealt with the challenges of sexual purity in our own time. So today, I'm going to be talking to you about, so you want to save sex till marriage. Okay, so my first question would be, if you want to save sex till marriage, or you generally want to abstain from sex till you are married, why? My first question is why? And that's what I tell people whenever people ask me that or mention that, oh, my fiancé or whatever wants to have sex, but I don't want to have sex. I always ask them, why don't you want to have sex? Now, the reason is because your why is where your strength will come from. You see, the reason why you want to do something or not do something will be the thing that will keep you going when the temptations and challenges of that decision show up. So my question is why? Why do you want to save sex till marriage? You see, if it's just that, oh, I just don't want to have sex or, you know, something that is not so strong, that won't keep you. All right, your reasons should be stronger. One of the reasons I think, I could have a full video titled What Nobody Tells You About Sex. It's on YouTube here, so please you can watch it because I gave a more detailed explanation there. But one of the reasons should be because God said so. If you're a believer, you're a Christian, your desire to please God, your desire to honor God should be stronger than your desire, you know, to please yourself. Or your desire to please your fiancé. So that should be one of the reasons. The other reasons can include the implications of sexual immorality. The average young person doesn't see, and this is even not just Christians now, generally, the average young person, even old person, they don't see fornication as a sin, but they see adultery as a sin. Or let me say it this way, they don't see fornication as being bad, but they see adultery as being bad. Fornication is when two single people have sex. Adultery is when a married person has sex with either another married person or a single person. So most people think, oh, fornication is okay, it's just not natural. But then they frown at adultery. What they fail to realize is that both of them are practically, you know, on the same wavelength. One is just the smaller version of a bigger problem or the younger version of an older problem, but it's the same thing. Even in scripture, most times they are mentioned alongside with each other or they are interchangeably used. You see, the self-control you're going to build when you're single is the same self-control that's going to keep you when you're married. You see, the self-control you build as a single person is what will keep you when you're married. You see, fornication is sleeping with someone you are not married to. Adultery is the same thing, sleeping with someone you're not married to. So if you want to avoid adultery, then start with dealing with fornication. You know, most people just think fornication is fine. So these two people applying to get married, then it's okay for them to have sex. You see, they are building an appetite. They are building a lifestyle of doing what they like. They're building a lifestyle of sleeping with someone they are not married to. Marriage won't change you. Marriage doesn't change anybody. You'll be the same person, you know, even when you are married. So what is the why? You know, what is your reason for saving sex till marriage? There are a lot of great reasons. Like I said, my video on What Nobody Tells You About Sex will give you more details. But I've mentioned the fact that God said so. I've mentioned the fact that it helps you to build self-discipline in each other. All right. I've mentioned the fact that, you see, it also helps you to have a more wholesome sex life. What many people don't realize is that there's nothing God has said in His Word that benefits God. Everything God has said in His Word benefits us. The Bible is like a user's manual. It's a book for how to maximize your life. The Bible doesn't benefit God. Same with your manual, your iPhone manual doesn't benefit Apple. It benefits you, the user of the phone. All right, so that's how the Bible is. So when the Bible is frowning or speaking against fornication, it's not because God doesn't want you to enjoy. It was actually God that created sex. So sex ordinarily is good, but the manual is trying to state the best way to do it, or the way to get the best out of it. Saving sex to marriage helps you have a more wholesome sexual life. Why? When you have sex with someone you are in a relationship with, most of the relationships people have, the average person has had 3, 4, 5 relationships. That usually means that, you know, you've also have 4 or 5 sexual partners. You are building an appetite, building a lifestyle, because sex is so intimate. It joins two people together. You are building a lifestyle that is joining to different people. By the time you get married, you find out you are not able to commit, you know, and join as much as you should have been able to if you had stayed sexually pure. You see, so there's so many other implications, you know, which are all scripturally, statistically, and scientifically proven. I did a good study of that in the video, What Nobody Tells You About Sex, but that's not what today's about. Today, I want to talk more about, you know, how can you actually abstain from sex? So now that you want to save sex in marriage, first focus on the why. Why do you want to do this? When you understand the why, it strengthens your resolve, okay? Second way you do it, in fact, the way I broke it down is in 3 categories. Every human being is made up of 3 parts, spirit, soul, and body. So I'll break it down what you can do, spirit, soul, and body. So number 1 is to work on your spirit, man. If you are going to overcome the sexual temptations, if you are going to abstain till marriage, and even when you are married, if you're going to live sexually pure, it starts with your spirit. It doesn't start with your body. Many people pay attention and focus on the physical act and how they won't do the physical act. What they don't realize is that the journey to actually living sexually pure starts from the spiritual, all right? So your spiritual life, if you're a Christian, is where the journey starts. How is your spiritual life? For most people that have high sexual activity, especially high sinful sexual activity, one of the things you always find out is that their spiritual lives also are dead or almost dead. If you're on fire for God, it's going to be hard to just transition from being on fire for God or being hot for God to being hot for a man or being hot for a woman. It's a long journey, all right? Before you get that far, something will stop you. So the first point of call is dealing with your spiritual life, protecting yourself spiritually. Let me say that way. Protecting yourself spiritually. So how is your prayer life? The Bible says when we walk in the spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When we walk in the spirit, when we walk spiritually minded, full of the spirit, they say we will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, because the flesh and the spirit are contrary one to another. Their desires are different. The spirit wants to please God. The flesh wants to please itself. But they say when you walk in the spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So it starts from, number one, your spiritual life. Where is your prayer life? Do you have a personal devotion life to God? I'm not just talking about morning devotions and things like that. I mean your own personal place of prayer, your own personal prayer life, worship life, you know, keeping your spirit alive. All right, it starts from there. Secondly, studying the Word of God. All right, God's Word is our spiritual food. That's where we get spiritual strength from. All right, God's Word is spiritual food. That's where we get spiritual strength from. The same way a physical food gives us physical strength, spiritual food gives us spiritual strength. So what are you doing with the study of God's Word? Are you feeding your spirit regularly with God's Word, with messages? Wholesome messages, you know, good teachings. And this is available everywhere today, online, YouTube, everywhere. The message is available. Feed your spirit, man. Pray. The Bible says pray so that you won't fall into temptation, you see. That's what happens when you pray. You're actually dealing with things ahead. You are dealing with things that might arise ahead. He said pray so that you won't fall, you know, into temptation. So prayer, study of the Word, then constant fellowship with other believers. Very important. We draw strength when we come around other believers. You see, we rub off on each other, we strengthen each other. So those 3 things will help you develop spiritual protection, you know, against falling into sexual sin. So you protect yourself spiritually. Second category where you protect yourself is mentally. Mentally and emotionally. All right? Many people, like I said, are too focused on the physical act. They see intercourse as just, you know, the main thing we're talking about, that celibacy or purity is about sexual intercourse. No, God never stressed, or let me say it this way, God never only stressed physical. God always had to deal with the root, which was mental. Your strongest sexual organ is your mind. Your strongest sexual organ is your mind. If you're going to protect anything, start by protecting your mind, all right? What are the thoughts you are thinking about? Jesus Christ said, if you lust after a woman in your heart, this is Matthew chapter 5, that if you lust after a woman in your heart, that you have already committed adultery, you've already committed the sin. Why was he saying so? Because some people are like, oh, but that's just the thought. You see, because once you start to do it in your thought life, it's just a matter of time before it manifests physically. That's how we are created. He said, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. One version says, that's where life is determined. That's where life is controlled. Once something begins to have free run in your mind, very soon you're going to play it out. You are wired that way. Your mind creates your life. Your mind affects your life. Jesus himself said, don't worry about what comes inside, what a man eats. Worry about what comes from inside out. That his life is more controlled or determined by what comes out of him, not what comes from out inside him. That a man is not defiled by what he eats. He's more defiled by what comes out. All right? Very, very important. Very, very important. So protect your mind. Sexual purity starts from even your mind. What thoughts are you thinking? You cannot keep thinking loose thoughts and then want to be living a pure life physically. No, you must stop living a loose life mentally. That's how you stop it physically. Protect your mind. What are you thinking about? What materials are you consuming? What pages are you following? What books are you reading? What movies are you watching? You must protect your mind. Your mind is the first line of defense. Second line of defense. That's where God actually is looking at. If you want to talk about purity, it starts from the mind. You are not allowed to let your mind run wild. Start to win the battle in the mind. You see, another thing why Jesus said, if you have thought about it, you've done it, is because when you think about it also, you give energy out. Everybody gives out energy. What is going on inside you has a way of finding expression outside. So when you enter a room, you can easily tell those that are loose and those that are not. Because once something is playing in your mind, it will soon manifest on the outside, okay? So guard your heart. So you see where God is going. God is saying, start from your spirit, start from your mind, before you even talk about your body. Most people are just fighting the battle in the physical. Meanwhile, they've let their guard down spiritually, and they've let their guard down mentally. You cannot win this battle until you deal with it first spiritually and deal with it mentally before you get to physically. Physically is the manifestation. It's not even the real battle. It's just the manifestation. The battle has been either won or lost. First in your place of prayer, then in the thoughts you are thinking throughout. Now, the third way you protect yourself is then physical. Okay, so after you've done the spiritual, the mental, the third level is spiritual, is physical. If you're going to abstain from sex, then you have to put physical boundaries. And this starts from the kind of people you even date in the first place. You cannot date someone that is clearly has no boundaries or no standards as regards, sexual purity, then you've already lost the battle. It's difficult for one party to want abstinence. It's difficult for one party to want to save it till marriage. And the other party is saying, hey, it doesn't matter so much. Then it's not going to work. Both of you must have the same resolve. Both of you must be of the same mindset. That is how it works. Because, if one person is even weak, the other person can help them up. But when both of you or one person is not seeing a big deal in displeasing God, then there's no hope. There's no hope. All right? So it starts from the kind of people you even date, the kind of people you even enter a relationship with. Are both of you on the same page in the sense that you want to please God, you want to live for God? It's doable. It's doable. There are many couples that have wedded, that married as virgins. The devil makes you feel, oh, everybody's doing this, nobody's living pure. That is not true. There are many couples I've seen that are married as virgins. Many, many, many of them. All right? So the devil just makes you believe that, everybody's committing adultery or fornication. That is not true. So physically, start with who you kind of present it. Second level, have an accountability partner. If you're starting a relationship, it's better to have someone both of you are accountable to that will check on both of you. It's important. We are creatures of accountability. We all will do well once there's a good accountability structure. You see, even mad women don't commit fornication in the open. As mad as they look, they don't commit fornication or adultery in the open. They still hide to do it. So everybody, behaves better when there's some accountability. So if you're starting a relationship, one of the first things you guys must do is to have somebody both of you respect and let that person be aware that you have a relationship. And can supervise you and at least create some accountability. Another thing you can do physically is avoid being in compromising situations. So both of you should not always lock yourself in a room or lock yourself in a house. That will put you under pressure. Both of you should lie on the bed and cuddle. That will put you under pressure. You're setting yourself up. You see, your sexual passions are strong. God made it that way. They are strong. So the advice God usually gives in scripture is flee fornication. Flee sexual sin. He didn't say pray. He didn't say fight it. He said flee. Once they are unleashed, you can't control it. There's nowhere in scripture that said, oh, fight sexual passion. No. It's natural and it's strong. But you can flee it because, you know, you create the physical boundaries that won't allow it, you know, capture you. So put the boundaries there. But if you shouldn't cuddle together on the bed. But if you shouldn't lock yourself in a room. But if you shouldn't sleep over in each other's houses and spend the night and spend the weekend. Such compromising things. Like I said, why? If you really want to do this, this is how to do it. You see, if you don't want to do it, then that's a different thing. But if you want to please God, you want to honor God's principles, then do the right thing. It's worth it. The devil will make you look like there's no big deal. No, trust me, there's a big deal. There is a big deal. It has transformed the lives of many people, positively and negatively. All right? So don't put yourself in compromising situations. In fact, somebody even asked me, that is even wrong or right for Christians to kiss when they are dating? I said, that question in itself is a problem. You see, many people are thinking of what they can get away with instead of thinking of what God wants them to do. If you're thinking of what and what you can get away with, then you can think of all kinds of things. So kissing is not a sin. Look, sex is not just physical intercourse. Kissing is part of the sexual act. And if God is saying you should keep that away till you get married, then do so. It's how to honor God. It's how to honor your body. It's how to honor your spouse or your future spouse. Because some person you're even with now might not be your spouse. By the time the person comes, you find that you've already given yourself to somebody else. That's not honor. That's the truth. Many people are going to get to their spouse's house, find that the body count is just alarming. Because you're giving yourself to many people that promise marriage. Wait till they actually marry you. All right? You have your whole lifetime to have sex. So kissing, for me, you know, I believe it's a part of a sexual act. So it should be left till marriage. Somebody said, but kissing is not bad. Now, the question is this. Can a married person kiss somebody they're not married to? If you say no, then you too can't kiss somebody you're not married to. It's the same thing. Kissing should be left to people that are married. When you kiss, are your hands in your pocket or do you start to touch? You see, it's not just sexual intercourse that's the issue. If sexual intercourse is you, that means I can touch any part of a woman's body and say it's not intercourse. No. The whole sexual act involves kissing, involves petting, involves smooshing before you get to intercourse. Intercourse is just one of the parts of sex. It's not the only part of sex. So if you really want to stay sexually pure, protect yourself in these three ways. Spirit, by keeping your spiritual life active. Mind, by renewing your mind with God's word, renewing your mind, feeding your mind wholesome material, you know, channel your energies to other things. What are your passions, other passions? What are your goals in life, your purposes in life? Channel your mind in those areas. Then physically, put the physical boundaries, all right, that will protect you. With these little things, I believe, and by God's grace, of course, I believe that you'll be able to abstain and keep yourself to marriage like many other couples have done. All right, I hope this has blessed you. Don't forget, loads of other videos here on my YouTube channel. Make sure you watch them. Subscribe, share, like, comment. And I believe we're a blessing. Don't forget, if you need counseling, we have a counseling service and it's virtual. So anywhere in the world you are in, you can reach our office and schedule a counseling session with me or any of our other counselors. We have a team of counselors that are here. And we have materials on our website, ldnwpk.org, and on Amazon. So God bless you. I look forward to seeing you again.